Hare Krishna. Here's a series of questions, back to answering some of the questions. There are maybe devotees who are anxious, thinking if I'm going to answer questions again. And from what I hear, there's quite a few of them. And although I've been enjoying commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bharat Maharaj and Jat Bharat's adventures. But anyway, let's deal with a few questions here. There's about the Lesko Judge, and he's asking, how good is it to chant your japa on public transport? Well, the answer is that it's preferable not to chant japa on public transport. Public transport means that there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of people moving around, a lot of things going on, a lot of distractions. The mind is already very easily distracted as it is, and meditation is meant to help us be absorbed in the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So when we're chanting our rounds, now I'm taking japa to mean our rounds, our 16 rounds, or whatever our vow is, to chant how many rounds a day. It's better if we make time for that in peaceful, tranquil atmosphere, preferably at home or in the temple, where there are no distractions, where we can concentrate on that, where already just the distractions that come from our mind are challenge enough, rather than having to bring a whole bunch of other unnecessary things around us. If, however, it's either that or nothing, then yes, better that. Better that you chant public transport than not chant at all, if there's no other time available. Although, we should very seriously question whether that's factual or not, that there is no other time available, or we're just not budgeting our time or prioritizing our time well enough. And then, let me talk about chanting japa, which is not your rounds, but just sort of chanting japa or chanting Hare Krishna. Satakam Gita Yantoma. One should always chant Hare Krishna. So there's no harm in chanting japa on the public transport. It's certainly better than watching the advertisements, listening to the people talking, watching the scenery go by. Certainly better chanting Hare Krishna. But that's a different type of chanting. That's a chanting that we do in order to repeat Krishna's holy name, glorify Krishna, try to focus our minds, but it's obviously not going to be the quality meditation that we should be doing when we're chanting rounds. So, under those conditions, I suggest that Bhakta George decide for himself what the best thing to do. Best thing is to always chant Hare Krishna, but better chant your rounds in a real peaceful state of mind. Bhakta Elliot from the UK, he's asking that since Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita the soul is immovable, what does it mean when we say that the soul goes from one body to another? It is just a form of expression that the soul actually doesn't really move, but so the consciousness transfers from one body to another. Or does the soul actually physically move? The answer is the soul does physically move. When Krishna says, "Achayoyam badayoyam asashusoshamevacha," that the soul is immovable. It means that because the soul is spiritual and you can't touch it, so directly you can't move it. But obviously, indirectly you can move it, because when you move one person's body, their soul is in the body, therefore you can also move, you're moving the soul. But directly you can't move the soul, because you cannot touch it. Similarly, karmani nindahatu kintucha bhakti bhajam. The nature of devotional service is that it brings an end to our karma. Actually, that wasn't the verse I wanted to quote. The verse I wanted to quote was karmana daivanitrina dihapapapaitati, that your karma will take you from one body to another. Karma will move the soul. And how does karma move the soul? Karma moves the soul, which is situated within the subtle body, according to the desire. The living entity will then achieve a certain body. And the subtle body, the gross body that he gets, will be attained by moving the soul along with the subtle body from one gross body to another. And a Bhaktin Aniko, she says that when you leave this body, then you forget your last body. So similarly, when we leave this body and go back to Krishna, do we again forget this birth, or do we again forget the material world, or do we remember? So the answer is yes. You also, when you go to the spiritual world, you forget the material world. In the material world, transferring from one body to another, as I just described earlier, is done by Mahamaya, and forgetfulness is due to the influence of the material energy. By the influence of the material energy, forget. So when we go to the spiritual world, by the influence of the spiritual energy, we forget. By the influence of Yogamaya, we forget our previous life in the material world. Remembering something of the past means that your consciousness becomes absorbed in that. But in the spiritual world, everyone is Krishna conscious. Everyone's consciousness is absorbed in Krishna. So why would they want to be absorbed in something that's not in relationship to Krishna? So they don't remember their past material lives. All they are remembering in, is absorbed in, is service to the Lord. If the question is, could they remember it? Then the answer is yes, they could, because they're full of knowledge. They could remember. But why would they want to remember? Why would they want their mind to go to a place where there was Maya, or there was illusion, where there was no Krishna? There's no advantage to it. There's no benefit to Krishna's service for that. So therefore, they don't think of their past encounters with the material energy, even though they could. We see that liberated souls in the material world, they also have the experience, just now as we're talking about Jadbharat, Jayati Smaran, even as a deer, what to speak of as Jadbharat, he was able to remember his life as Bharat Maharaj. So then what to speak of the completely liberated associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, they also have that ability. But why should they? What is there to remember about in this material world? Jadbharat needed to learn a lesson. They don't need to learn their lesson. They're already perfect. So let's let go of the material world. These answers are, do I remember what happened in the material world? Will the husband remember his wife when he gets to the spiritual world? These are all still symptoms of material attachment. Why would you want to remember your wife or your husband when you're in the spiritual world? If they're successful devotees, they'll be there, engaged in service to Krishna in a suitable body. Husband and wife are material designations. Atot Ishtvan, he asks, what should be my consciousness, my austerity, my regulation, my activities to Krishna so that I can remember Krishna consciousness in this material world full of sense gratification? So I'm sure devotees can all answer that question. What kind of consciousness should I have? We should have Krishna consciousness. And our austerity should be following the four regular principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. The rules I should follow are those rules that are conducive for cultivating devotional service, following of ekadasi, practicing different types of devotional activities that help us remember Krishna, because that's the ultimate rule of all, smarta dhamsatatam Vishnu. And the activities that we should perform are specifically chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, worshipping deity. When we perform these activities, which are the activities that Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we very easily are protected from the influence of material energy, and we also can come to the spiritual platform. And finally, Ishwar Krishna Das asks, what is the cause of disease? Some people say that it's just some random material cause. Other people say it's a result of our mind. And devotees say it's karma. So, karma ananinda hatikin tuja bhakti bhaja. Disease is a result of karma. Our material body in itself is a disease. It's the diseased condition of the soul. And in that diseased condition, we experience also different types of diseases as a result of our past activities. And on top of that, of course, as human beings, then we have the opportunity to even amplify or modify that disease condition by our regulation, by our diet, by the peaceful nature of our minds, in other words, not being in anxiety, by our lifestyle. It can adjust somewhat, our free will can influence that, but just influence it somewhat, because ultimately our free will is intertwined with our karma, and it's only when our karma is cut by Krishna Bhajan that actually our disease is a gift to us by Krishna. It's a gift to us to remember the temporary nature of the material world, to show others how to transcend the material body, and ultimately disease is a way by which we get out of this material world and go back to Krishna. Otherwise, how are we going to live? If devotees have no karma, in other words, no Krishna karma, and if they live forever in this material world, then how are we ever going back to Godhead? So one way or another, by the karma, karmic arrangement of material energy and the Supreme Lord, devotees experience the inconveniences of material existence, ultimately for their betterment. And those are today's questions, Hare Krishna.